Welcome to the rivers of everlasting and eternal pleasures, bringing forth tidings from the throne of grace and the voice of the majesty on high. Experience the power of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, shining forth from the face and presence of God. We are Love Seal Church. Stay blessed and be enriched through this message by God's servant.
Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the help we've received. We thank you for your manifest presence amongst us. Father, even as we go into this lesson, Father, I trust you for help. I trust you that you minister to every one of us. Even as I'll be speaking, oh God, I come back under the authority of my Father in the house, under my Father. I pray that even as you have laid these things in his heart, you help me to be able to communicate these things effectively. You give me mouth to be able to declare these things as you have placed it upon his heart. Help me, oh God, to be faithful. For in Jesus' name I've prayed. Amen. All right, we are at the sixth lesson, and it's still the same theme. Prisoners of hope, anchor of souls, being written amidst the living. And we're going to be treating the topic, which is better resurrection, the hope to come. And this is the part three. You know, last week, we focused more on resurrection from the dead. You know, this week, we are going to be looking at resurrection of the dead. You know, as a result of the fall, every man is in a covenant with sin. However, the hope of resurrection teaches us to deny and crucify every affection of sin, so the workings of death in us can be disannulled as we are strengthened to obey righteousness. The voice of the Son of God is the resurrection and the life. The voice enlightens and leads the believer out of his infirmities as he or she yields to his instructions and commandments. Resurrection from the dead is both by position and process. By position, the spirit is quickened instantaneously at the new birth, while the process, the soul is expected to be raised alive by undergoing certain leadings and dealings that will make the soul put off the old man and put on the new man. Although the strength of flesh is the law of sin and death, the hope of resurrection constrains a believer to be diligent in following the Spirit. In this process, philosophies, weak conscience, inconsistency, self-justification, and haste are dealt with to mortify the old man. To put on the new man, the journey begins with the enlightenment of one's understanding. The soul is led to serve and attend to the things of others, trained with denials and delays, trained to see and trust in the invisible, trained to be meek, separated from earthly things, and to be self-governed. When a soul has been resurrected from the dead, the evidence is in their conversation. Such soul has a tender heart, is meek and lowly, suffers long and is kind, not envious, neither vaunt itself nor behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, not easily provoked, justified by faith, and is peaceable in all godliness. A question can spring up from that if a man is all of this, what else does he need? Now let's look at our text this morning. Let's just read Philippians 3, 5 to 15. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. What we want to see this morning, to show the forces of corruption, its workings, and its grip upon the soul. The second thing, to extray the kinds and types of resurrection of the dead. The third thing we're looking at is to uncover hope dealings for the deliverance from the bondage of corruption. And lastly, to show the evidence of souls that have attained the resurrection of the dead. Going quickly to the introduction, the works of sin and death wrought in man by the corrupt seed prosper, dominate, and spawn in secrecy. The corruptible seed furnishes man with the wisdom to keep sin and death intact. This is the strength of Egypt, which preserves and decorates the dead with much beauty. They call them mummies. They keep them, they beautify, and they can preserve their dead for centuries without them decaying. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Sin, which works death in the soul, grows in strength and morphs into several shades when the believer is unyielding to the voice of the Lord. Sin aims to rot all manner of hurtful desires in the soul, to keep the soul bound to death in many ways. Through the laws of iniquity, the corruptible seed silently works death in man, incapacitating him from separating good from evil. Iniquity wears man with a cloak of false righteousness, or an appearance of good. Giving hope to the believer enlightens him, while making sin appear exceedingly sinful, for the believer to strive to depart from the congregation of the dead. Ezekiel 22 verse 26 says, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. A believer is delivered from the corruption that holds all creatures in bondage to death by striving to overcome. As Jesus, our Savior, cried vehemently with prayers and supplications to be delivered from death, so should believers also engage in the salvation program likewise, crying for deliverance with fear in the heart. So all those things we mentioned, that speaks about a man attaining unto being a perfect man, or becoming a spiritual man, or let's say the formation of Christ in the soul, that brings about those different things that we mentioned, according to 1 Corinthians 13. Say, he suffers long, is kind, is not envious, neither vaunts himself, or behaves himself unseemly, does not seek her own. All these things are proofs that a person has migrated, from a particular location of carnality, and have moved into a place whereby that man has become spiritual. So it's very easy to measure yourself by these things and see, am I spiritual or not? You can see the lines that define spirituality in 1 Corinthians 13. You can see that you can be able to pray for long hours, but yet you are not spiritual. I'll be able to fast for long hours, but those measurements are not there. When you look at how can I bear with my brother, you don't see those lines at work inside of you. You are easily irritable. Things get you offended quickly. You can easily measure and say that, no, I am not yet spiritual. By that measurement, when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, you can say, am I spiritual or not? According to the introduction, a man can have these things and he's spiritual. But the fact that you are spiritual does not mean that you cannot sin. Meaning that sin can still catch up with this kind of man, which means that this man is still corruptible. Corruptible means that you still have ability to be corrupted. You have things on your inside that the enemy can still use to make you corrupted. Mean that the warfare has not been completely won, even as a spiritual man. Because if we settle in that state, very soon, things will catch up with us. Which is why we must move from charity even unto fervent charity, and trusting to be received by the Father. As when you look at Adam in the garden was sinless, but he was corruptible. Amen. When you look at Lucifer, That highest being, no, cherubims are highest beings of this present creation. He was one of them. When God created him, he was without sin, but he was corruptible. So being sinless does not automatically mean that you are not corruptible. That is why this present creation is under the forces of corruption. I mean that anything in this present can still be corrupted. So even when you have labored and you have become Christ, we are still not free from the forces of corruption. We can still be corrupted. Which is what that place was making us to see, that although you might have attained some estate in the holy place, does not mean that sin cannot catch up with you. Because why? Sin is in measures. Sin is in grades. When we take time to read Romans chapter 6, you begin to see how they calibrated sin. And one thing we know about our Lord Jesus Christ, he said he was tempted in all ways. He said at all points. Those points are specific measures which they use to calculate sin. So at all points means that he moved from one level to another, and he went through all the cadres of sin, but he was without sin. Mean that he received wisdom for overcoming the temptations of sin at every cadre. So if God is saying you should come, when God says that they that come unto me, mean that what is hanging upon every believer is to come to God. And the first man that came to God in that sense was our Lord Jesus Christ. And in his coming to God, he said he was tempted at all points. When you are going to that destination, they will tempt you at every point. Because at every point of your journey, there is a commensurate measure of sin that is able to bring you down from that journey. Mean the higher you ascend, the higher the degree of sin you will combat. So at a Christ measure, you have overcome some level of sin. Amen. When you look at the measurement, they said that from Romans chapter 6, quickly, talking about sin unto death, then obedience unto righteousness. Say, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto right. Look at how they calibrated this thing. There's a sin unto death. Amen. But similarly, what it is to compare this sin unto death is obedience unto righteousness. So meaning this sin here is disobedience. This death here is unrighteousness. You can, by obedience, you know, deal with sin. And when you arrive at righteousness, you deal with unrighteousness. But this thing does not end here. It continues until uncleanliness. Then iniquity unto iniquity. All these things are measures of sin that the Lord must deal with in every believer. So at Christ, we've been able to deal with a part. But that is not the fullness. You know, in the Old Testament, they said anything that is dead, if it touches you or you touch it, you become unclean. So this death is a giver of uncleanliness. And it can only take the Lord. Because if you are unclean, the Lord cannot receive us. So when the Lord is beginning to deal with sin unto death and begin to border down on the place of uncleanness, it's because he wants to receive us. When you look at Isaiah, he thought he was very okay. He was keeping measures of holiness. But when the King of Glory entered into the temple, he said, I am unclean. All these things of showing us measurements of unclean is a kind of visitation. Why? Because they want to receive us into the most holy, which is to deal completely with iniquity. What we are going to fight at this level is called iniquity. That is the head of sin. That is the head of sin. Resurrection from the dead, like we spoke about last week, raises the believer to life. Although he's raised to bear the likeness of Christ's life by partaking of the promise of life and godliness, the believer is yet vulnerable and subject to forces of corruption by the corruptible seed. The forces of hell assault the believer with the lot of iniquity, seeking to entangle the believer again in the conversations of the dead. Deception, deceivableness of unrighteousness, the deceitfulness of sin, and the deceitfulness of riches are the agents of hell and death. So although the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus can make us free from the law of sin and death, the law of hell and death can make us bound again to the forces of corruption. If we are not intentional, if we don't receive the dealings of the Lord to make us overcome the forces of hell and death. Can I say that in 2 Peter 2:22? Say, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness than after that they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Meaning that even the state of Christ is much more susceptible, and it is better for a man not to know Christ. And the Lord takes him, he goes to heaven like that, than to now know Christ and then now turn. Because disobedience at this realm, you cannot go back to the state you were in before because of light, because of knowledge. So when you are turning, you are becoming a beast. A terrible beast. You know, that state is terrible. As a dog, when the Lord is treating us from the nature of dog, and we are approaching, and they are healing us, if we turn, we are not just going to become dogs anymore. We will become wolves. We will have ability to eat sheep. Dogs don't have ability to eat sheep. They cannot kill sheep. But at this point, you have wisdom to kill another brother. You have wisdom to convince another brother to turn away from the path of life. And you will have evidence. You have things to say. You will be blessed with a mouth. When they say a wolf is a mouth that can tear.
Pardish the pomba, like a tanian to shamanaka, shamaneto kapati. Deal with it, deal with it, deal with it, engage it, engage it, engage it. Oh, let it be taken away from you, let it be taken off you. Don't say these things are not of me. Don't say these things are not in me. Don't say these things cannot be found in me. But rather deal with them. Deal with the traits. Deal with them. Deal with the indicators. Oh. For every man that will be taken in, every man that will come to this point, every man that will come to this place, oh, will be tempted of this same thing, of this same one thing. But you must ensure that you deal with them, even by the light of the gospel, even by the light of the gospel being revealed to you. Oh, allow washing, allow cleansing, allow taking away of all these tendencies. Oh, that you would not turn. Oh, that you might not turn. For the temptation lies. The temptation is nearer to you than you can ever think of. Don't excuse them. But rather, engage light, and let light deal with them, say the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. That's why when you begin to notice some things that are antichrist, you know, in their little measures, you need to begin to engage to ensure that they are dealt. You know, the devil, man's adversary, is killed in keeping the dead in the grave, and much more, he kills, steals, and destroys. The believer raised from the dead should bear the hope of the resurrection of the dead to overcome corruptible forces warring to bring him to death again. This hope teaches the believer how to live forever and never die again. Psalm 118 verse 17, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. You know, this death here is just beyond, you know, adding more years to your years, you know, which will be done, but it is much more about living in the soul. You know, it teaches the soul to live and not to die. By the resurrection from the dead, Apostle Paul counted the things that were gained to him as loss. Nevertheless, he hoped to attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not having his own righteousness, nor counting himself to have apprehended, but forgetting the things which are behind and reaching for the prize of the high calling. The operation of the resurrection of the dead instantaneously raises and changes the mortal body. The soul, however, is changed and raised to life everlasting through the cycle of resurrection by attainment, conforming to his death, fellowship of his suffering, and being raised by the power of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Now we can see Apostle Paul, you know, even he counted Christ. You know, for a man to be in Christ and still see that, Christ is not everything that this, not when I mean Christ, I mean this point I have gotten to in my journey to God. Amen. And I may call a spiritual man is not enough, you know, to dwell there. He said he counted those things that he had achieved as dung. Mama was making us realize during the review that many of us, we can glory in our charity works and we can tabernacle there. We can stay there and, you know, it's like our CV. We can mark it, at least, brethren are now staying in my house. At least, I'm doing this. At least, I'm doing that. And we can dwell there. And because of that, you'll be blinded from knowing that there is more things to achieve. Because really, where God is taking you to is not that place. But you just have to pass through that place to arrive at where you are supposed to arrive at. When I was praying, one of the things that just came to my mind, you know, is that that place when Jesus was saying that in your patience, possess your souls. Now, if you read everything that Jesus was saying, that he said, in your patience, possess your souls. Meaning that at that border is when you are beginning to start possessing your souls. They have ready to be a kind of man that can now possess. Look at the Israelites. They were in the wilderness for 40 years to make them into a kind of persons that can begin to possess the land. Meaning that what they had previously was to bring them to a point that they can now start that possession journey. That if they really x-ray your souls, they are still Hivites. They are still Jebusites. All those nations that dwelt in the promised land, somewhere they are still in our souls. Although you are a spiritual man. So you cannot get to the brink of being a spiritual and now say that, well, I think I've done enough. Or begin to now compare yourself with another person. That is where warfare begins. Because you are not trying to see how much charity have I done that is beyond others. That is when the commandment of looking unto Jesus now begins to play. You cannot really look unto Jesus until you become a spiritual man. Because at that point, you are tempted to look around you and see that, there are really no people keeping these things. Though. Or maybe there are few. And even in the few, you might be a champion. But then you know that this is not the end. Paul said, I might know the reason why I am apprehended. I'm not apprehended to become a spiritual man. I'm apprehended for much more. He said, for the prize of the high calling of God. Resurrection of the dead by positioning, which is confirmment. Raising the body at the last day. At the descent of the Lord, we can see that in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. All men who are asleep in the Lord will arise first, and they who are alive will be caught up with him in the air. This is not a hope for a believer in itself. It's an event that all believers and unbelievers will witness. Acts 24 verse 15 says, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. The Lord will descend together with the archangel bearing the operation of the trump of God in order to administer change to the physical bodies of men who have attained unto several orders of the hope of resurrection. In the resurrection, bodies differ, and the glory born in the body differs in accordance to the hope of resurrection attained in the soul. The attainment of the resurrection of the dead in the soul earns a believer an incorruptible, glorious, powerful, and spiritual body. Contrary to the belief of many, the resurrection of the body is not the putting on of the body of an angel, nor is it wearing glory as a beam of light around one's body. No. It is the giving of a body that is compatible with that of the world to come, which is the habitation for believers by God. It is God who gives the body. According to the scriptures, both the just with quickened spirit and the unjust with dead spirit will rise on the last day. Men with dead spirit will also be raised, bearing an everlasting corruptible body, for receiving the punishment of eternal judgment in the lake of fire that burns day and night forever and ever. So, you know, one of the major things that we have seen is the deferring of resurrection until this particular time. The resurrection of the body. Everybody knows and desires to be resurrected, you know, on the last day. But the process of resurrection, we don't want to undertake it. We are not even interested. You know, we just feel that kasha mashidada. Let's just do good and let's make heaven. That word, you know, that word make heaven is that, okay, when I die, I would peradventure, you know, be granted entrance into heaven. Which really is not the essence of this. When your spirit and soul leaves this body, reality will dawn on you. You will know that you are naked. You know, here, maybe people might be greeting you and say that, you are doing great here. Accolades might be so much around you because of things you are achieving. But once you leave your body, you will know that you are naked. You'll be ashamed to even see the Lord Jesus. Now, when you ask some people that, okay, if you are giving a dinner date and you say one question you want to ask the Lord Jesus, you know, you see people say, people have many things they have. But you'll be surprised that by the time reality dawns on you, when Jesus is coming like this, you just tell, maybe one dominion, say, just cover me. Let the Lord pass. Let him know that I'm here. Because of what? Shame. Because when you see what he is carrying, who he is, and then you look at yourself, you will learn that the person I'm really supposed to compare myself with is the Lord Jesus. May we not be ashamed before him at his coming. So the process of not being ashamed is when they begin to now teach your soul the process of resurrection. So that when you see him, what is inside him has already been put inside you. That's the process. You know, when you look at Thessalonians, you know, 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 13. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Asleep here, you know, Jesus also used this same word for Lazarus. You know, those that died knowing the Lord, hallelujah, they are asleep. Say that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Amen. Means that we have a hope. We have a hope. The hope is not after you die. The hope is a reality dawning upon you here that will determine your forever estate. So for if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him again. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. You know, Apostle Paul was trying to paint an event here. That event that we are looking forward to. But this event, if you don't carefully follow it, you will also see the process in this event. There's a process tied up in this event. Said we, because 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10 was making us know that this church, they were waiting for the coming of the Son of God. Not that they wanted to die. But they knew that there was a revelation that's supposed to be revealed to them. At the coming, when they said the Son of God is come, these people, they were there. They were waiting for the Son of God, he said, and to wait for his Son from heaven. So they were in this waiting season. So Apostle Paul also was with them. Say, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So Apostle Paul believed that the process of this coming will also culminate into the event. That was the way he lived. He was not waiting for another generation. He believed that this process will happen and it will bring me to the last point. That was their mindset. Say, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This shout is an operation. It's not that you'll be sleeping and you hear somebody shouting outside. When they say he's descending from heaven, that means he's coming. This is a coming of the Son. And when he's descending with a shout. This shout, the whole earth will see him and they will mourn. This will bring the whole earth into recognition that a being is coming. Said, with the voice of the archangel. And with the trump of God. This trump of God is the last trump. So this shout and voice of the archangel are different trumpet soundings that will lead to the trump of God, which is the last trump. Said, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They said, then we which are alive and remain. Meaning that we are alive and we remain, that we have gone through all these processes. We are alive and we have gone through all these processes. And all these things, they've done their work in our soul. Said, then what? We shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What is this saying? This process happened to Paul. You know, this process happened to Paul. The sending of the Lord happened to them. But the event, that final event, did not happen. So what many of us are looking for is that final event. But we don't even understand what Paul understood. That what will make this event eventually happen is this process. So when you are talking about rapture, first thing first, that would make the Lord to descend, you know, with a shout. All these processes, 1 Corinthians 15 was also talking about this, said in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those things are operations. But there's a generation that would fulfill that process and they will also experience the event. They will experience the what? Process. And while they are still alive in the days of their flesh, they will experience the what? The event, which is a mindset we should carry, just like Apostle Paul. That we want to experience all these processes and end it. Because really, what is the end? Apostle Paul journeyed to the end. When we talk about the end, we are talking about a program in God for completion. That Romans 6 I was reading earlier, that last part. Say, for when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Say, what fruits had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed? The end of those things is what?
Yes.
But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the what?
End.
End is what? So there's an end that is death. There's an end that is everlasting life. So when you're talking about end, you're talking about program of what you are serving and obeying until you arrive at the end of a program. So the end of the program of you journeying to God, the end is everlasting life. So any man that journeys into everlasting life has journeyed into the end. When you talk about end, you just see maybe the whole world will just collapse and everything will just... That's an event that will later happen. But you can be here. Apostle Paul was in his days. He journeyed to the end. You can arrive at the end of the commandment in Christ. The end of the commandment of Christ was charity. That's the end. Charity out of a pure heart. Good conscience and faith. That's the end of the commandment in Christ. But also, there's also another end. That last verse now said, the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? That sin that is mentioned in there is all the calibration of works you have done. All your labor in sin. A man can live his entire life laboring in sin. When they want to pay him, the only thing they can pay him is debt. That is his wages. But the gift of God is eternal life. Meaning that when you reach the end, which is everlasting life, God can gift you eternal life. So we can let us forget about the gifting of eternal life if you don't arrive at the end. So that place that says that they are endured to the end is not saying that because one of the things we are going to need in this season is endurance. Endurance. So they that endure to the end shall be saved. So we can see the difference between when we are waiting for a rapture and we are not engaging the process to arrive at the end. Because it is this end, amen, that would bring that. Because Apostle Paul, when he was alive, amen, he journeyed to the end. But because that event did not happen, amen, this is something. No, when that event happens, all the men that have journeyed to the end, they will receive their bodies. And the kind of body they will have is commensurate to what has been wrought in their soul. Your body is your house. The idea of house that the fallen man came up with is this static building. It's a static building that does not move. When God is thinking house, he's thinking body. He's thinking something that when you are moving, is giving expression to that which is inside. That is why God did not build a physical edifice for Adam. He had a house. His body was his house. His body was his house. So body is that visible expression of that which you carry. It can give expression to what is inside you. That is a house. So when God is saying, I'm looking for a house, he's not looking for a static place. He wants you as a believer, your entirety, to be his body. Man whose being and soul fiber is infected with death by the corruptible seed through his lust is delivered from this bondage by conforming the soul to death of the Son of God, baptizing the soul in the suffering of the Son, and administering the power of resurrection that breaks the grasp of death in the soul. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil wrestled down the knowledge, judgment, and ways of God to work corruption in the soul. And the cycle of the resurrection of the dead works upon the soul to make a believer know him by bearing his likeness and his image, knowing his ways and judgments. The believer is birthed by the incorruptible seed to demilitarize the forces that war in the members of the soul, to decay and work death in the soul. The reason of the soul incorruptible is evident in the believer's inability to sin in thought, word, and deed. His ways and thoughts becomes God's ways and thoughts. Everlasting righteousness finishes transgression, makes an end of sin, and reconciles all iniquities. This is the reality of the raising of the believer to life everlasting, to receive the reward of life eternal. All envies, malice, guile, hypocrisies, evil speaking, etc. are destroyed and defeated. Amen. The believer raised from the dead is to receive, submit, and give heed to the ministration of the high priest and the word of God, which is quick and powerful, searching through the thoughts and intents of the heart, and raises to the uttermost, far above the reach of corruption. You can say our Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 7:25, you know, he has been made higher than the heavens, separate from sinners. That is an estate that corruption can never touch. Resurrection of the dead is the transformation of the heart and mind by the fabrics and substances of the heaven of the world to come. The believer is quickened in his soul. The spirit of holiness and the glory of the Father strengthens and regenerates the fibers of the soul with the Lord of life everlasting, to raise the soul in the newness of spirit and to make him walk in the newness of life everlasting. This is the power of resurrection for believers who are conformed to his death and are fellowship with his. Let's see the bondage of corruption. When we talk about bondage of corruption, what is bondage of corruption? The man is joined to corruption by the spirit of fear. Man is joined to corruption by the spirit of fear. And the fear of death teaches man how to break laws of life and to depart from the voice of the Son of God. Fear in all of his shades sources from sin and fading hopes. Hope of the invisible is administered to the soul to deliver the believer from the fear of death. The death worked into the soul by the seed of corruption and his laws makes a believer unable to perform any good thing. Although the believer is willing, yet he is lacking in strength and spirit of the heart to execute that which is perfect in the sight of God. The bondage of corruption thrives and deceives with the promise of liberty to the soul. Lawlessness in actions, thoughts, and deeds keeps the soul bound to death and hell. The adversary charms the soul with this present evil world, its kingdom and glories as hopes, to keep man in the cycle of death. The love of the world and the things in the world causes the believer to pass away with the world. It saps the soul of every strength to respond or seek after God and his things. The deception of lawlessness and bondage of fear trains and constrains the believer to perpetually sow to the flesh, to reap the fruit of destruction, which is an unredeemable state of the soul. The bondage of corruption seeks to make man perish in his entirety. Hallelujah. So really, you can tie the bondage of corruption to the fear of death. The fear of death, you know, Hebrews 2:8 was talking about our Lord Jesus. You know, say he who through death that defeated him that had the power of death, said that is the devil. And said some people are in all their lifetime subjects. Can we say subject? What does it mean to be subject? You don't have will. You render service without restraint. You don't even know that you're under subjection. You are doing it willingly, happily, joyfully. A Christ man can do this. In fact, a Christ man is still subject to this. Why? Because there are things in the soul, amen, that it only takes certain conditions to make you see that they are still on yielded grounds in the soul. There are still uncovered grounds in the soul. There are still places that God wants to touch. He made you a spiritual man so that you can judge all things. So that when he begins to come for all those things, you will allow him. In your carnal estate, we are enemies. God cannot come for those things. If he comes, we are going to wrestle him down. But now that we are spiritual, is to allow the Lord perform his entire work. Amen. To the deepest recesses of our soul and to deal with this fear of death. As Christ, some things can just happen. Some situations can just happen and you will not know when you begin to panic. It might not be extra, it might not be obvious because they are touching some certain things. There are certain things that are still our fears even though we are following the Lord. You can see that in the life of Job. He was an upright man. But he had fears. That fear is a force of corruption. As long as it is there, you can still be corrupted. So, when God wants to deal with your fears, even things that you don't even know that they are your fears, when they begin to now uncover some things, why did they touch this thing? Why did they touch this thing? Why? Why? Am I still righteous? But Job was an upright man. Those things did not come his way because he was an unrighteous man. But they needed to touch his fear. So moving you from being spiritual to being a divine man or to being an everlasting man, that they want to treat your fear. They want to delete your fear. Because our fear is still attached to this present. Might have overcome some level of lust. But there is a place that God will get you to say, how to do. Can you just stop it at this point? They deal with all our fears. You know, and this fear is our love. This fear is our what? Our love. The corruption of the heart, its work, wisdom, and conversations. The resurrection of the believer begins by putting the manifest works of the flesh to death and the remission of ungodly and unrighteous ways. Raising the soul in conformity to Christ. This is the resurrection from the dead. However, corruption is still at work in man. The works of corruption are highly spiritual and deceptive. As such, believers easily negotiate away from the deliverance from these works. Below are a few. The ministry of iniquity doth already work. That means iniquity is at work in every man, even a spiritual man. Self and love of one's life. When looking at a corrupt man, what makes a person corruptible is self and love of one's life. Little wonder those that overcame him, what did they say happened to them? Say they loved not their what?
Christ.
Unto this. This is a deep-rooted wiring of the soul, causing man to have preference for himself over God. The soul easily develops subtle attachments and life definitions from anything or anyone or circumstances, thereby disregarding God or the brethren. Funny enough, when you were carnal, your life was carnal, right? And you were told to let down your carnal life for spiritual life, right? Now that you are spiritual, do you know that you also have to lay down that life for another life? What will we face? Is that we want to tabernacle in Christ. warfare we'll face is that we want to stay in Christ. Really, it's not that they've not given you a measure of life. But the wiring of the soul is to hold on to what has been given to it. To hold on to anything and not allow another thing that the Lord is giving. They used to say that the enemy of what God is doing is what he has done. Meaning that your understanding in Christ can hinder you from progressing. So when Paul is saying that I count it as dung, that I may know him, he knows that if I stay too long here, something will catch up with me, which is love of my life. So eventually you will love that estate and you will not know that you will begin to now retrogress. You begin to now corrupt that life that has been given to you. So when they say men shall be lovers of their own selves, when you say man loves his own self, it's not really the life that they gave him that he loves. It is a higher wisdom of loving self. That although you are spiritual, you can still love yourself. See, Lucifer, his sin was that he loved himself. He corrupted himself by his brightness. That's corruption. That's corruption. His brightness was able to corrupt him. Who gave him that brightness? Things that God gives you, you can still be corrupted. As long as your gaze moves away from God and you begin to look at those things that has been given to you, it will corrupt you. His gaze was moved from the Almighty and he began to consider himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Which is why, you know, we must always, you say he will keep him in perfect peace. So whose mind is stayed on him. No, this is a time that the Lord must work our minds to be stayed on him. You know, at that point, you are not seeing what you have achieved. You are not patting yourself on the back that I've tried. I've at least. Amen. You know that as long as I see fall short of him, I must not settle. I must not love that estate I am in. Because when you see the Lord, he will measure no man has seen the Lord and you remain on your feet. Because you will see a higher measurement of life you're supposed to attain. A higher measurement of life. You will cry, woe is me. You have prophesied from chapter 1 to chapter 5. And these prophecies are back to back. But when the Lord comes, you will cry. You will begin to see things hidden in you that you don't know were there. They will open you to you. But yet, you are looking at the Lord. I want you. Love of the wages of unrighteousness and an evil eye. The love and covetousness for the things which could be added to a believer, pursuing after the promise of the hope of the gospel, keep the believer bound to his death. The adversary negotiate the promise of the hope of the gospel with mere privileges for the gratification of one's lustful appetite. No, one of the things that fell Balaam was this. Wages of unrighteousness. Why? When you say wages of unrighteousness, is by your walk with God, there are certain understandings you will have that will give you an edge. And in that season, God will tell you not to use those edge, that edge. God will tell you to deny yourself of some privileges. Christ will make you bright. You know, one of the things that we saw about Balaam was that he knew how to call God. He knew how to use God to his situation. Because one of the things, you know, one thing about God is that there are some things he cannot resist. If you have some certain kind of heart postures and you insist on those things for your gratification, it's possible those things are met, but you have broken a code of life. There are certain advantages that will come your way because of where you have been positioned. That's why I was saying in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that those that are rich in this world, he began to warn them. Why? Because you can be so rich in this world and that thing can take your eyes away from him. So when they begin to supply you, even with the natural, when you are blessed with the natural, it must stay in our subconscious, in our mind, in our hearts, that what I'm receiving is for distribution, is for what? Communication, is not for my own self. It's not for my own self. Any increase in the natural is to communicate, is to be distributed. It must be repeated in our minds and hearts. If not, you know, we can say it now, but when that time comes, that's when you will see plenty needs that you have not met. There are needs that you have been denying because you're in the season of Christ. And you know that, well, I must not complain. And you are enduring, and suddenly abundance comes. Those needs will stare you in the face. And you can take those things and now begin to attend to your needs. When really, it is a test. Hey, when really, that abundance is just a test. It does not mean you have arrived. It's not the world mentality of, I've suffered so long, it's now time to enjoy. It's time to now bring yourself much more under, knowing that what I've received is for distribution and for communication. So you will not have the mindset that it's my money. You know it's not your money. That is my money. You've already fallen for a trap. That mind, you can be spiritual and fall into it. When they since seven figure, and you don't have wisdom of how to make this money. Think that we're taught. When you're learning Christ, some wisdom will come your way. You will know how to do some things. And you'll be guided to, and money will come your way. But if this training, this charge, rich in this world, you can become high-minded. And your trust will move from the Lord into these riches. It's the season of the living God. And then they bless you with riches. But it is wisdom to know that this thing is uncertain riches. And I should use it as a stepping stone to utilize this season very well. Reason why many will fall away is because after enduring so much in the season of Christ, when abundance hits them, they don't know how to manage it. We can become high-minded. They're looking at preeminence. It's also love. All these things I'm mentioning is love. Are different shades of love. Amen. Love of rich of unrighteousness. Love of, this preeminence is also love to assume leadership. Especially among the brotherhood. Having neither recognition nor regard for authority. You know, a man got to this point that he could resist Apostle John. You know, it's all of us here that we are saying, Apostle John, the Lord, if you lived in his days. No, the regard we have for them is because they lived before us. The way they lived, you can almost look down on them. It is what they wrote that is making you feel that, this man, if you see Apostle Peter, the fisherman, first of all, he might not like his dress combination. But a man got to that point that he could resist Apostle John. Where Apostle John has labored, though. He now colloquy all of them and they turn them to his own flock. So nobody today, this kind of thing, they happen. No? Because one thing that you have in season, you have knowledge. You can break down certain scriptures. And people wonder, you'll be like, who be this guy? Who be this lady? Spirit. But we must have that understanding to know. We must not be quick to assume leadership. We must never be quick to even desire leadership. To lead the flock of God, the Lord must be the one to put you there. Because it comes with its different traps and pitfalls. Erring also, James 5, 16 to 20. You know, to err is to fall in judgment, which is from incomplete knowledge of the life of the Father. These are conclusions in our thoughts, knowledge, and actions that are not consistent with the truth of the Father. They are variableness as against the commandment of the Father. Submission to authority and one to another checks and keeps a believer in order. So that's why it's good to always, you know, share your revelation with your brothers. Don't keep some revelations to yourself. Some revelations are harmful. When you share one revelation with your brother, the look of your brother, you will know that, something is wrong here. But when you're receiving that revelation, you are feeling so high in the spirit. And you feel that this must be from God. By the time you humble yourself and you share it, and as you are sharing it, maybe there are three brothers. One of them say, please, I want to go. And they are not catching that rev. Please, keep that rev. Know that rev, just know that it's not a... Some people know when they have something like that, they want to hold on to it. It is a blessing to know that I can be wrong. You can be studying and then some things come to you and you feel so anointed, but still know that I can be wrong. Don't hold on to it and say, I received this one. This one, no one touched me. I received this one from the Lord. I can be wrong. So this is, I don't understand. There are many things here that I don't understand. So we should know. We should be okay with the fact that I can be wrong. I can receive something now in my reading, studying, and be ready to drop it down. Let it go. Until higher light visits it. And submission to authority checks this. Anyone that is submitted to authority, you can easily submit and know that I can be corrected. You will not fall into this erring. Amen. It's as easy as that. So, independence also, or wrath of man, is worked by the corrupted seed to make man always lean on himself, his strength, ability, and wisdom. It is the wisdom of the adversary to keep man in the cage of death. Know that mindset of I'm the only one that is right is from the pit of hell. Funny enough, a spiritual man can fall into this. Because you've used some certain things that they've worked. But when the season of the Father is coming, the waiting you knew in Christ is not the waiting in the Father. They are completely different. You might think you've waited enough, but when judgment is coming, they say you've not waited enough. Still subject this decision. It is that time that you now see, why will the love of many wax cold? Say, because iniquity shall abound. Why? Because really, the training of the Father is a training of total reliance and dependence on God. You hear things like, I can of my own self do nothing. What I see my Father do, that's what I do. In Christ, you can still do some things by yourself. And the Holy Ghost can still aid you. But in the season of the Father, you will not draw conclusions in thought. You will not make decisions. And you will not take actions until the Father has revealed it to you. So a brother can be acting in a particular way, and you are in waiting not to bring a conclusion in your mind to that brother until the Father reveals what you should think about him. Until the Father reveals what you should decide on that brother or actions to be taken. It's a place of complete waiting on the Lord. But that's why endurance is needed. Because if you cannot endure, we'll be weary and we'll draw back. So when they say iniquity shall abound, first of all, he's not talking about external. It is in the soul. You have love, which is charity. But what is now fighting that love is in your soul. Iniquity wants to kill that love. So the higher warfare wants to put to silence. That's why you can be loving a brother and the offense of that brother will not heighten. It's not because of that brother. Iniquity wants to abound. The desire of iniquity in every one of us is to abound. Iniquity has been working silently. But once you hit the gusher of love, of charity, iniquity knows that you are coming for it. So iniquity wants to kill what you have. So the heat you have been generating towards a brother can grow cold overnight because of the attitude of that brother. So me, what you are now fighting is no longer what you are fighting at a level. It is now iniquity that wants to override the previous works done in the soul. So when they say that you cannot be independent at this time, you will be pushed to talk, pushed to act, pushed to do something. And at that point, what the Father is just saying, just stay. Let's look at false satisfaction, for example. No, it's a state of contentment or confidence in the state and nature the soul has acquired. Forces of corruption also work to bring ease to a believer. So when you say iniquity is also abounding, it can also come in the place of ease. Who finds solace and comfort in previous spiritual attainments? No one should be satisfied with anything less than God. No one should be satisfied anything less than God. An evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief may rise in the heart because of many tribulations and fiery trials that are at work around and within a believer to cause his hands to hang down. You know, iniquity is not stereotype. Iniquity can use many things. Iniquity can use abundance. And iniquity can use lack. There is nothing iniquity cannot use as much as it can get the love in your heart. Because he wants that love to grow cold. Iniquity is a fire extinguisher. And he can use anything. Look at Job. That thing against him was iniquity. It was iniquity that was against Job. Imagine the forces of heaven and the whole forces of hell. They were looking at one man. In a situation, what is his conclusion about this thing? And they said that in all these things, Job did not sin. Who was measuring that thing? Satan was staying, he was looking. What is his conclusion of this matter? Saying all these things, Job did not sin. Presumptuous sins. To be presumptuous is to overstep one's bounds. The warfare of overstepping the codes and commandments of life is evidence of the presence of the laws of iniquity within the believer. Jesus was tempted to jump down and save himself. Michael also could not raise a reeling accusation against Satan. Likewise, one should also not take authority into one's hand, but must work the works of the Father to attain the resurrection of the dead. The presumptuous sin is, you know, when the devil took Jesus to the high mountain and told him to jump. And then scripturally, he said, you will give his angels charge over you. I know he could do that. He could even turn stones to bread. But that would be walking outside the will of the Father. There were certain times that they brought sick people to Jesus and he healed every one of them. And that time he walked into a place where there were many impotent sick folks and he healed only one of them. He healed only one of them. Why? A logical man will ask, if you have the power to do this thing, why not do it? Why? That man by the beautiful gate would have encountered Jesus. Jesus was going to the temple, but he did not heal that man. Why? Eventually, it was through the hands of the apostles that man was healed. Presumptuous sin will make you know that, you know, in the season of Christ, there are many things that you have abilities to do now. But those abilities will now be subjected to the commandment of the Father. Jesus said, don't you know I have authority to command 12 legions of angels and at this point they will deliver me. But said, because of the will of the Father, I'm not going to do this thing. So it is a place whereby there are things you can do, but you deny yourself. You deny yourself. That's why many times you cannot be seen arguing scriptures with your colleagues. Because you think you know something. It's not charity. You know the level they are. You can fellowship with them at their level. Not argue. And you don't contend. You know, you're not contentious. So there are certain things you'll be able to do because you have journeyed in Christ. And at some certain point, temptation will come to bring them out. But the Lord, from here, will tell you, just keep it. Kill that thing. Don't bring it out. Look foolish. Cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. These are weapons of corruption riding upon legitimate needs and choking man in every iota of life. Finding contentment or fulfillment in God's provision is a warfare that can also arise in the soul due to corruption. Having food and clothing. Let us be there with what? Content. That lack of contentment of... when you have food and you have clothing, in the eyes of God, you have all that you need. Every other thing. If you have food, if you have clothes, you are not naked. To God, you have everything that you need. Own gel. Is he naked? No, he has clothes. The type of clothes, what come on? Because you are the one that give definition to the kind of clothes. Their own clothes is just to cover your nakedness. Is your nakedness covered? And then some sounds are getting up to God in heaven, and they say, kilotun berefun. Angel, God, what is he looking for? Say, this one, asking for this, asking for this. Okay, wait, to show gel, own gel. Show washer. Pack it on our side. It's not because they hate us, but food and clothes is enough. Is enough. Every other attainment you are pursuing, if they allow you, is fine. But if you are not getting it, be okay. Don't be complaining. Because your life does not consist in the abundance of things that you possess. There's a kind of car that is okay. There are some cars that I showed you already. When you see some cars, you know that this car can build 12 houses. It's not to carry you from one place to another. Be content. So we can see that when I say iniquity, that lack of contentment has been weaved in the soul of every man. Because what is, it is supposed to be that contentment I don't have, it should be towards that I don't have enough of God. They've twisted it. It's a twisted kind of righteousness. So that contentment is supposed to be like, okay, I've gotten God to a level. I want more of you. I want more. Continual panting. But no, we can be okay. That we are not increasing the measures of God as long as I'm increasing the measurements of this life standard. That is a work of death that even a spiritual man can be subject to. It's a corruptible force. It's in every soul. Deceitfulness of sin. Sin disguises and becomes pleasurable to cause a believer's heart to be hardened against the Lord, his leadings and dealings. Sin deadens the soul. Then warfare of understanding, Matthew 13:19. The lack of understanding of the knowledge and the life of God is an evident work of corruption in the soul. How many of us have sincerely, genuinely sat down to cry? When I mean cry, like your heart is in sorrow because daddy preached a message and you did not understand. You know, understanding is warfare. We need to war for understanding. We can be convenient sleeping in church. We don't see anything wrong in it. And we have legitimate reasons why we dozed off, why we slept. When war is going on, there's no cry in my heart that why am I sleeping? It's even bad to a point that some people, before they don't want to sleep, they will start to play game on their phone. Some people begin to do other things outside the world on their phones. There's no warfare for understanding. We don't know that understanding is life. But sometimes they will say that if you are sleeping now, it's the devil. And true, it's the devil. That devil is not a demon outside blowing you air, like we used to see in the movie. It's iniquity that wants to abound. That is lying to your body that you are tired. And it wants to gain ground and deny us of... Does this mean that some of us will not see those? You can still find yourself dozing. But you must war. You must not succumb to it. We must fight. I must understand. If you don't get it, you will go back and play the message again until you understand. That shows a heart that does not want to be corrupted. Because every measure of life that we lose in a service, we are losing building blocks. Willful sin is an accumulation of all these things we have previously mentioned. We say a man is in willful sin. He has broken many of these things over and over and over until the blood of Jesus, he can trample it under his feet. He can trample it under his feet and he will not see anything wrong in it because he has used all these things over time until his conscience has been seared with a hot iron. Amen. That's why I know that there's really nobody. You know, when the devil looks at believers that are Christ, in his soul, in his heart, he believes, I can still get these ones. The only thing, you just need to keep a little here, a little there, until it accumulates to become this thing called willful sin. The direct affront against the commandment of life that keep the man. He seeks to build again things that have been destroyed or to destroy things that have been built up. Corruption and its forces war against a believer to turn from the journey of hope, making recovery and restoration impossible. Conforming to his death, the dealing of the Father. Amen. Many people have issues with when we talk about the dealings of the Father. Because everybody believes that at new birth, God is my Father. Which is true in a sense, but it's not true in that sense. God can be your Father. But really, in the true essence of it, before God will now begin to father you, you must have journeyed to that place of fervent charity. I wrote here, appointment with the Father. Galatians 4 makes us to see it. He said that the heir, as long as he's a child, is not different from a slave. Though he's the Lord of all, he's put under what? What is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So in training, the Father will step back. He will appoint tutors and governors to begin to train you. Until a particular time that he has appointed, that he wants to now begin to train you. Meaning he will not train everybody. The only person he can train is a spiritual man. Because he knows the spiritual man will allow him to walk. To put the corrupt seed, its laws, wisdom, works, and conversation to death in the soul, the Father teaches and trains the believer by chastisements and scourgings. Believer is taught and trained to fight corruption to a standstill, till he has zero tolerance for his work and conversation, giving no room to the devil. This is high wisdom and strength at work in the believer, which includes the following. Searching and trying of the heart. The training of the believer begins with the believer being equipped to search and try his heart and intent for every wicked work. It is important for a believer to agree that he bears death in his bosom for the cycle of resurrection to begin. So he must agree that although I'm a spiritual man, I still have death in my bosom. I still have iniquity that is still at work inside of me that the Father wants to deal with. Long suffering and patience. You know, there is a patience that began in the season of Christ. But here they call it all patience. Now they will come at every side and they must establish patience on your inside. Believer is exercised in patience for the full possession of his soul, like I was saying earlier. In patience, possess your soul. From this world and its forces of corruption, patience in unwanted situations and patience after the will of the Lord has been done by a believer neutralizes the sting and potency of corruption in the soul, which is called patience of Job. No, we can say that in the patience of Job. Job was patient until the end. So we can see that the Lord is pitiful and merciful. But when the Lord is dealing with a man, it might not look like that because he's addressing hidden works of corruption. He's going into the innermost part of the soul to fetch out and to clear things that can make that man corrupt. When it's scourging, scourging is not commandment. Scourging is not advice. Scourging is to put you in a situation that you don't have power over. And then you are subjected in that situation. And from there, they can begin to remove things that make for corruption. You know, to the body, when they are scourging, it can tear part of your flesh out. There's a kind of Roman whip. When they are using to beat your body, it can tear part of your flesh out. They are yanking things off your soul. They are cutting things away. At this point, there's no mercy. There's mercy, but no mercy. It's mercy for no mercy. to remove that eye. Say, cut off that hand. These are times that they begin to cut off. They remove certain judgment that you think they should pamper you on. They just, this is not it. And you must move on quickly. Fiery trials and manifold temptation are also the ways the Father scourges. Train of helplessness. They bring you to a situation whereby you, by yourself, you know, you cannot administer solutions to issues. Things are out of your control. Except the Father intervenes. Sobriety, you know, moderacy. The soul is afflicted to bring sobriety and gravity to have respect for the life resident in God. This affliction works carefulness in fulfilling all requirements needed to be freed from every bondage of corruption. We pay attention to details. We are not shabby in understanding. Moderacy. A soul is taught to be moderate in all things, not seeking to stand out or be greater than his fellow for his safety and keeping. One of the wisdom expressed by a believer with the hope of resurrection of the dead is hiding. They must teach you to hide, your head. Also similar to preeminence. You don't want preeminence. Training of endurance. Endurance and strength within the soul to ward down spirits, to be firm on the journey of hope, and in adverse situations causes the believer to be unwavering. Seeing the invisible reward in all circumstances and situations worked around and within the believer. No suffering is greater than the reward. Briefly touching on this endurance. One thing about wrestling. Wrestling is different from the war that we see these days. The war that we see these days can be fought from a distance. People shooting guns and throwing ammunition. But when you talk about wrestling, I'm talking about body to body. So when you are warring spirits, it's a combat. One of the things that must be ingrained in us is endurance. Sometimes a wrestler might have put the back of the other one on the ground and put him in an uncomfortable position. Sometimes they bend their legs. And it's very painful. And because of the pain, that guy can be tempted to tap out, to surrender to defeat Ami Oshemo. But a guy that, you know, is boiling with rage, and maybe something that guy has said before, although he's being pained, he knows that I cannot tap out. I would rather die than tap out. And we can see that although that kind of guy is in a particular situation, because of what is inside him, he can twist himself out of that situation because of a determination that I'm not tapping out, say. That's our mindset against spirits, that we are not tapping out. Whatever may happen, I am not tapping out. I am not giving up on my process. They might twist you into uncomfortable situations. Looks like all hope is lost. But my brother, I am not tapping out. This is the mindset, even down to the works of the flesh. When you are fighting a particular work of the flesh and it's not going, you will look that in the face and say, I'm not tapping out. You must have a warrior mentality. Everything inside me is ready to fight. I'm coming out of this thing. When situations surround you and they look like there's no hope again, I mean, that brother is acting somehow that I ought to sue me. I'm giving up on this brother. You should not come out of our mouth. You are showing spirit that I'm not tapping out. This brother might be like this today, but my love, my multitude of love will cover that multitude of sin. I'm not tapping out. Enduring to the end. That is the person that will be saved. Enduring to the end. Evidence of resurrection, conversation of the new life. Believer who has attained the resurrection of the dead is one written in heaven amidst the living. The evidence of his resurrection are his heavenly conversations which separate him from earth. The Father gives the believer with his good and perfect light, their understandings, to rid him of every shadow and variableness of death. Then the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit is the beauty won upon a believer who has been raised to life everlasting. Such a believer is governed in his soul by the Spirit of the Father and by his conversation. Souls are one. He doesn't offend in words, thoughts, and deeds. The fashion of a believer raised of the dead is one who is obedient in all manner of conversations and cannot be pulled by sin and his lust. He is holy and separated in his ways and thoughts, just as the Father. Now, this is a realm of cannot sin. No, it's possible in the days of our flesh to get to that point whereby we cannot sin. It's not as though we are being tempted and we are resisting, but we have lost the ability to sin. We have lost the capacity to sin. The capacity we have now, they call it instruments of righteousness. Romans 6. Instrument is something designed for a purpose. Meaning that we have been redesigned. The only thing we can now do is righteousness. That's what will happen in the days that we are in. The fear of death is undone by perfect love, and the fear of the Lord and his reverence are worked into the heart of the believer. He can now serve God acceptably in all holiness and righteousness all the days of his life. Resurrection, newness of life, and newness of spirit. The end and aim of resurrection is to raise and renew the believer in the spirit of his heart and mind for walking in the newness of life. The laws of death are destroyed in the soul, and the laws of life are imputed as spirits into the believer's soul. New spirits are worked into the heart and mind of the believer by the resurrection from the dead, and the spirit of the Father is forged and engraved upon the believer's soul for the resurrection of the dead. Holiness, meekness, fear, faith, sound mind, etc., are spirits written upon our hearts in the resurrection. Revelation 21:5 says, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." The hope of resurrection equips and strengthens the resolve of a believer to see life as a stronger force than its entanglement to death. The key to resurrection is to believe wholeheartedly, submit, and remain bound to the hope of resurrection, unwavering. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." So we can see that really, you know, nobody should meet the Lord. And I mean meet the Lord, I mean nobody should depart, nobody should drop his physical body if he has not attained this conversation. Because you will not have the glorious body like the Lord if you die without this. So which is our desire, ever changing into this image and the likeness. Can we just pray to God for strength this morning? That Lord will help us. Lord will have mercy on us to submit to the dealings of the Father, the trainings of the Father, even in this season.
Can we pray for help? Holy Eva Savandia Sataniza. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Chaprodusa Mardenon Chabaleka Macageno Din de Axuba Semenonga Chacha Loganande Shubra de Jacto Lovenatovin Snowdon Keredakata Maninon de Katambi Sungaratesh Sundagaka Rector Diza Somandiba. Oh, it's a warfare. It's a warfare. It's a warfare. It's a warfare. It is a warfare of two worlds. Two worlds. Two worlds. Two worlds. For you are in between two worlds. Oh, a world corruptible. A world full of corruption. A world. And another. 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 Oh, oh, two olds, two olds, two powers, two thrones, Moka Plevenish, Afoin and Chalabunikestia. For you need to understand, you need to fondua kambule fondua tanandije. You need to understand, you need to stand to understand that you might war well, that you might war to the end, that you might fight well, that you might attain, that you might attain unto this resurrection, this resurrection, this resurrection being spoken to you, being heralded. Oh,
great warfare, great warfare, great warfare. But blessed are they that will come to the end. Blessed are they that will hold on to the end. Blessed are they that will follow on to the end. Oh, blessed are they. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. Oh, Makalas Shidokoni Ambalaka. For you must war. War into salvation. War into salvation. War into salvation. Oh, oh. Oh, for it's getting darker and darker. It's getting darker and darker. It's getting darker and darker. But you must run. You must run. Run into the rock of your salvation. Run. War against all shades of corruption. War. War till you arrive. War well. War well. War with understanding. Understanding is coming. It's coming. This world is being opened to you that you might war well, that you might journey well. Race, 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 race into God. Race into God. Run into God. God, salvation. God, your salvation. Run well. See the Spirit of God.
I see the need for us to really engage in understanding in this season. I think Proverbs says understanding is a wellspring of life. Why we still have struggle in life application is because we are yet to come to understanding. Labor to hear, labor to understand. So understanding is a labor. You know, because when you hear the understanding, is like understanding is that which that makes you to stand. Is there the Honda? When you see a man standing, he's standing because he has an understanding. And that should be our heart disposition in this season. Let me have that First Peter. I'll just read from 7 to 9. He said that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus. Those are the inheritances, praise, honor, and glory. Say, whom having not seen, ye love. He said, better resurrection, the hope to come. He said, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom do now ye see him not, yet believing. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9 says, receiving the hand of your faith, even the salvation of what? So salvation of our souls is the hand of our faith. So, the reason for being a Christian is for the soul to be saved. And to save the soul needs to be delivered from the forces of corruption. The seed that came into man in Genesis is a corrupted seed. So, meaning the fight is not just only against sin, but against corruption. Because if you fight against sin and you are able to receive the flesh of Jesus, it's still not a guarantee because forces of corruption still exist. That's Romans talking about the body of sin and body of what? Of death. These bodies are in the soul. You know, there's a way they are in the soul of every man. And these two bodies must be destroyed. And that is why a man can do Christ and still be entangled again. Because there is another body. Because that is actually the real body of that seed. Because every seed has body. If you want maize, you plant seed of a maize, right? So the body of the corrupt seed is actually to make corruptible force, you know, active. That even when a man has obeyed God in a measure, by virtue of corruption, he can still turn. And that's the issue of salvation. The reason why the only solution to that seed is for a man to die fully is because he likened it to HIV/AIDS. You know, HIV/AIDS doesn't have cure. You can only manage it. Christ's life is an intervention. That intervention is needed to launch us to the inheritance. But one thing about the HIV/AIDS is over the years, you've seen people live with HIV/AIDS for 30 years and they are still alive. Right? They are not dead. As much as you can take your drug regularly. Some people, they actually succumb to it because at the time they got tired. The only answer to that corruptible seed is death. There is no other way. They need to administer death until that thing is totally suffocated. And that is what happens to a man when it appears as if we are losing our lives. Hey, my life. That thing you call your life is a seed of corruption. That thing I call my life. And that's why if there's anything that must happen to us this season, it's for us to embrace death. We cannot be people that are satisfied because we have obeyed God in a measure. Because salvation is actually the end of the soul. The reason for faith, let me tell you, even the reason for milk of God's word, allocation of all faith is for men to come to salvation. And what is being saved is the soul. The issue of patience is becoming a reality. We should be followers of them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. You know, one of the help that must come to us in this season is to learn not to jump out of dealings, nor look forward to the end of dealings. We shouldn't be people that look forward to the end of a dealing. The apostle, they obey God solely so much that imagine the level at which they obey God, they couldn't close the hedge. Imagine if all of us here obey this thing. And we are not just saying it with our mouth, but our heart is far from it. Do you know that even this world, we feel it? If few people can be obeying this thing, let me tell you, the reason for long suffering of God is because God is seeing some people responding in a measure. And he's still seeing that if these little people can respond, it means others can still respond. And that's why the Lord is still suffering long. We cannot be people that are comfortable with our sins. We can't be people that are comfortable with our way of life. We can't have short fuse in this season. The reason for this is that, you know, the Lord is just declaring an allocation over us as a people. And he's saying that everybody should labor to understand. We must work out our salvation. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not because these people don't obey, he's trying to tell them something, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. You know, the reason why I cannot complain or have excuse not to obey because of my wife is because it's my own salvation. You know, a question was asked here the last week, and that he was talking. It has nothing to do about the other person. It's your own salvation. He said, Abraham, my servant, I called him alone. Everybody must work out their own salvation. And it's because of my wife. Look at what my brother did to me. It's your own salvation, though. Every arrangement they bring around us is your own salvation. Own your own process. We should be people that own our process. Own it. It's your own. That is what the Lord measured out to you. Don't look. Christ teach us that. Can you walk your own salvation through that situation? Yes, you are waiting for husband. Can you walk your own salvation? Are you getting saved by virtue of delay? Or you are only complaining? The Lord is eradicating salvation. If there's anything the Lord is saying, the Lord is looking for men and women. Men that love salvation. Every other hope climax in salvation, because there can never be eternal life without salvation. Men that have hope of the promise, which is eternal life, are men that have come to salvation. Men that have conquered through high callings, coming to high calling, they've conquered every height in their souls. All those countries, Hittite, all of those, they are what? They are the height that every man must conquer. And I'm trusting God that help will come to all of us in this season. That will not be complainers, but will be men that really, really labor God to come to salvation.
We trust you were made glad and strengthened by the voice of the Son of God from on high. For more inquiries about the ministry and its meetings, call 0702-500-1662 or 0904-285-0714. Stay blessed.